Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Illegal student parking is on the rise near Juneau Douglas High School, Yada'at Kahle. School went back into session last week. It's the first time in more than a decade that all high school students in Juneau are under one roof, instead of splitting between two campuses. But since classes commenced, students, parents, and nearby residents are complaining that there aren't enough parking spaces available at the high school for the additional students.
The reality is parking is tight.
That's City Manager Katie Kester. She says the city is aware of the parking problems near the school and working with the district to find solutions. According to police, some students have been blocking bus lanes, driveways, and taking up space in the faculty parking area. Before school started, the district tried to mitigate parking issues by implementing a park-and-ride service where students could park at the Thunder Mountain Middle School and get bused over to Juneau Douglas. Superintendent Frank Hauser says that's still a viable option for students to take advantage of. And he says this isn't the high school's first time dealing with this many students on campus.
Juneau Douglas High School once had about 1,900 students. And currently, that's hundreds of students less now than it had at its peak enrollment. And so that's something that, you know, is something to consider as we look at, you know, the spaces that are down there.
Hauser says the district isn't considering the idea of building a parking garage or additional structures for parking. However, it is looking at ways to work with the city, state, and University of Alaska Southeast to find spots at the Marine Tech Building and nearby harbors or streets. Mary Beth Weldon is also concerned about the issue. And she says they hope spots open as soon as possible.
We are taking this very seriously, but as you can imagine, it takes a little time trying to figure out who can give up what spots.
A spokesperson for the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities says the state is also looking into the parking issue. This is KTOO. Bartlett Regional Hospital's nationwide search for a new CEO has narrowed down to three candidates. As Juneau's hospital faces a multi-million dollar deficit, it announced today that the finalists are John Friedenberg, Melanie Tiura, and John Wanner. Friedenberg runs his own healthcare consulting business. He previously served in leadership roles at hospitals in California and a research facility in Texas. Tiura is the administrator of Providence Valdez Medical Center and previously worked at healthcare facilities in Unalaska, Dillingham, and Michigan. And Wanner is already on staff at Bartlett. He was appointed as chief financial officer last year and had held the same role at Bartlett in 2017 between stints with a hospital in Oregon. The finalists will be in town over the next 2 weeks for final interviews with the hospital board and to meet staff. And there will be opportunities for the public to get to know them as well. Meet and greets will be held on Bartlett's campus starting at 4 p.m. on August 26th, 28th, and on September 6th. And the three members of Alaska's congressional delegation are calling for action from President Joe Biden on transboundary mining in British Columbia upstream of several southeast Alaska rivers. KRBD's Jack Darrell has more.
In a joint letter sent to the president last week, U.S. Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan and Representative Mary Peltola expressed concern over the impacts mining projects in the Canadian province are having on U.S. communities and resources downstream. The letter said that without federal recourse, Canadian mining activity could increasingly damage salmon runs in Alaska and the environment as a whole. And the letter CC'd the Secretary of State, the head of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and multiple members of the International Joint Commission, which oversees issues affecting waterways along the Canada-U.S. border. The bipartisan delegation wrote that they have pushed three different presidents at this point for financial and environmental protections of the Taku, Stikine, and Unik rivers in southeast Alaska, each of which they say have been affected by Canadian mining projects at their headwaters. And now the delegation is renewing the call for action after a recent infrastructure failure at a gold mine in the Yukon led to a landslide which leaked mine waste, including cyanide, into a nearby creek that's part of the transboundary Yukon River system. The Yukon government found in a water quality report that in some areas, the cyanide levels were enough to wreak significant damage on aquatic life. By all accounts, the failure was caused by poor design and negligence, the letter states. It said, quote, "We are only now beginning to understand the true scale of the environmental impacts, and each update is more discouraging than the last," end quote. Murkowski, Peltola, and Sullivan say that they, quote, "recognize that the minerals that come from Canadian mines are a key part of U.S. and allied national security and an important part of resource development," unquote. But they say sacrificing our environment for energy and national security isn't a necessary trade-off. And so they're asking Biden to publicly demand that, one, Canada clean up an abandoned mine in British Columbia that the delegation says has been polluting international waters for decades, and two, all stakeholders, meaning Alaska, British Columbia, the U.S., Canada, and Indigenous groups, establish a binding, enforceable international framework under the International Commission to prevent disputes like this in the future. In Ketchikan, I'm Jack Darrell.
For years, Alaska lawmakers across the political spectrum have joked about and criticized that they have to deal with specialty license plates. It's a waste of time and resources, they said. But ironically, they've also been unwilling to give up the power. Some have tried, but all have failed to pass a law to delegate the responsibility to the Division of Motor Vehicles. That is until this year. Alaska Public Media's Jeremy Shea reports.
Right now, the Alaska Division of Motor Vehicles issues license plates with more than 40 distinct designs. There are plates with the National Rifle Association's logo, pink ribbons for breast cancer awareness, various military insignias, and the Freemasons' compass and square. There's even one specifically for the remaining survivors of the 1941 attack on Pearl Harbor. These plates tend to originate with special interests or nonprofits. They find a sympathetic lawmaker to draft a specialty license plate bill for their cause. When they become law, it becomes the DMV's responsibility to make it happen. Republican Senator Kelly Merrick of Eagle River is the latest lawmaker to try to let the DMV handle specialty license plate requests without the legislature's involvement through her Senate Bill 95.
Also known as the License Plate Bill to end license plate bills.
She first presented her bill, which won't affect existing specialty plates, in April of 2023.
It saves money by passing the costs of developing and issuing plates onto the organization rather than spending state dollars. Chair, the legislature has many significant issues to focus our attention on. While the organizations that come to us requesting specialty plates are worthwhile, license plate legislation takes up precious time.
Over the next 13 months, the bill wound its way through the Senate and the House, picking up riders along the way.
This was originally the license plate bill to end license plate bills, but after a floor amendment, it is now the license plate bill to end license plate bills, except for one license plate.
Yep. Legislators wanted to create more specialty license plates with the bill to end specialty license plate bills. Senator James Kaufman, an Anchorage Republican, got one in to honor fallen peace officers. He even had his own version of Merrick's bill that failed a few years ago. Then in the House, Eagle River Republican Representative Jamie Allard got specialty plates added for the United States Space Force, women veterans, and retired women veterans. By this past May, Merrick wasn't thrilled.
And after a House State Affairs amendment, it is the license plate bill to end license plate bills, except for one more license plate and another one and another one and another one. The time has come to stop the madness and pass SB 95.
Senator Scott Kawasaki, a Democrat from Fairbanks, vowed back in 2016 to try to end license plate bills every time they come up.
And every year it just kept getting more and more frustrating that we would be debating a bill on a license plate rather than focusing on the big picture, the billions of dollars in general fund revenue that are declining.
And Kawasaki, by the way, he has a specialty license plate on his own car, one of 60 specifically for state legislators. He figures bills like Merrick's have historically failed because lawmakers like having some inconsequential, easy-to-pass bills, especially when they aren't in the majority caucus.
I was in the minority for 10 years in the House. It was hard to pass legislation with my own name on it. And so these sort of lesser bills, naming a day, naming a license plate, sort of became something that minority members could fairly easily pass.
So what finally changed this session? Kawasaki thinks the unusually big class of new legislators who took office in 2023 shook things up. And he thinks the very last uncontroversial item having to do with commercial driver's licenses, Frankensteined onto Merrick's bill, helped.
So there were a lot of changes that were made in the House side that really just pushed it over the edge.
Kawasaki says it's a little bit of progress and should give lawmakers more time to deal with the state's bigger issues. The bipartisan bill to end license plate bills and do some other stuff is awaiting Governor Mike Dunleavy's signature. Barring a veto, it will become law at the end of the month. In Anchorage, with a regular, unspecial bear license plate, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 52 degrees and overcast. There's more rain on the way tonight with an 80% chance and a low of 50 degrees. Tomorrow, the high is supposed to be around 56, and it looks like it won't be as rainy during the day. By the nighttime, though, the rain will probably double up, and we'll have rain through the weekend with temperatures in the 50s. You're listening to KTOO. For more stories, go to ktoo.org.